Welcome to the Confidence in Christ podcast. I'm Kayla, and I'm here to offer you the opportunity to grow in your confidence of the Lord. Through interviews with friends, simple and practical scripture application to your life, and some good old-fashioned tough love at times, you will be more equipped to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ after hanging out here with us. I'm a woman just like you who loves the Lord with all of my heart and is doing my best to follow His will for my life. Meeting you here weekly and passing on the knowledge He has given me is part of what that looks like. I am so honored that you're here, and I can't wait to help you get to know God in new and exciting ways through the podcast. Hey, welcome back to another week on the podcast. I pray that you have just been connecting with God in new ways and deepening your relationship with Him, growing in your confidence of the Lord, and just getting to know Him better, because I feel like springtime is just such a great time to do that, just to get to know God even deeper than we were before and just connect with Him, because everything is blooming and the grass is turning green and all the things. And it just reminds me of God's goodness and faithfulness and that He's always there. Today's interview is going to do just that. Every time I listen to it, I am learning more and gaining more knowledge from my new friend Beth and her book that was just released not long ago, Warrior of Eden. But Beth is the co-executive director at Back to Back Ministries, an international orphan care organization serving orphan and vulnerable children in 10 locations around the world. She is the author of 14 books, with her newest being Warrior of Eden, How Curiosity and Questions Lead to Understanding God's Call for Women. I can't wait for you to hear how Beth explains it in our conversation that you're about to listen to, because it's not what you think. Yes, women are helpers. Yes, God has created us uniquely, but there is so much more to it. And we as women have such a big impact on the world and for the kingdom of God. We just have to step into that and know what that looks like. And Beth gives us so many practical ideas and tips in our conversation that I can't wait for you to hear. So we are going to dive in with Beth and talk about what God has for us. Beth, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today as a guest. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Kayla, for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. Okay, so I always start out with what your go-to book of the Bible is. It could be Lifetime, it could be right now, but just like, where have you been in scripture lately?
Oh, that's easy. If you leave me alone with my Bible long enough, I'm usually in the book of Exodus. I have long been fascinated with Moses. I've been fascinated with that whole idea of the birth of the nation. I love everything about Exodus. If somebody says you have to give a message in 5 minutes, I open up to Exodus. That's my book.
Oh, that is so cool. Cause that's like, a lot of people are like, ooh, Exodus. Like, that's so awesome that God gave you that hunger for that.
I do. What is your answer? What book do you find yourself in?
Normally my go-to is like Ephesians. I love the armor of God and all things that Paul like just hits you over the head with. Like, I just need that blunt honesty, really, is like, I just need shook a few times. And so, yeah, I find myself Ephesians, Philippians, that section. So
those are good books.
Fun. Okay. Well, can you just tell us about yourself?
Absolutely. So my husband and I went to college together at Indiana University. And then after we graduated, we got married. And I already had a missionary call in my heart. I wasn't sure how it would look or where it would look. But in 1997, we packed up all our belongings and took our life savings and we moved to Mexico, began an organization called Back to Back Ministries. Today, we have about 400 staff that serve around the world, orphaned and vulnerable children. I lived in Mexico for the next 15 years, began to form a family. We have 11 children now. And really, all of my, I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in a home of faith for sure. But I kept running out of myself on the mission field and watching God come for me and grow me and reintroduce himself to me and challenge me and empower me and give like all the things. That is really where my faith came alive. And it's been a very exciting life. It's taken me all over to places I would have never imagined. Yeah. But that's a little bit about who I am.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. I actually have a friend, when we're recording this, I have a friend whose son is a missionary down in Mexico, and she's down visiting him right now. So we've all our little prayer warriors, like we're all praying for her and like protection and just that God's will be done. But it is just such a holy calling. It's not for everybody, but man, like that's so neat. And you're an author too. Like you've written multiple books. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so really ultimately I'm a storyteller, and I we've hosted about 30,000 mission trip guests over the years, and I would tell my stories, 30, 50 people at a time. And in 2007, somebody from the publishing company Zondervan was there visiting and asked if I would put some of my stories into a book. So my first book, Reckless Faith, came out in 2008. And the book we're talking about today, Warrior of Eden, I think is number 14 now. So
Oh my
over the
goodness.
last 15 years, yeah, I just continue to it says in Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And so I just am always wanting to testify to the things I've seen God do and the things that he's teaching me in real time. So, yeah, this writing is a big part of my life for sure.
Well, that's such a great way to process too, like how God is working, and just to recall those things and remember them and then tell others. Like I love that verse, but also I always think of like they will know us by our love and like the testimony, like what we're saying about God. And having these books and just these stories are just so neat. And this one you just mentioned, so Warrior of Eden, it's called How Curiosity and Questions Lead to Understanding God's Call for Women. And it really is kind of your dive, a deep dive into a certain section of scripture, which on this podcast, I love and highly encourage people to do like deeper dives. Like if God gives
Yes.
you like he like dangles that carrot in front of you and you're like, wait, I want more of that. And like you just keep chasing after it because you want to know more and you're so hungry for it. And that's what you did here. And that's so exciting. So can you kind of describe maybe how you jumped from Exodus into Genesis? Because this is a little bit about Genesis,
Yeah.
where that came from and like the word that you kind of got caught on or the Holy Spirit kind of rocked you with.
Yeah, for sure. It's my last book was about spiritual warfare. You were talking about your love of Ephesians 6, and I was telling my editor, do you know what's harder than writing a book about the devil is writing a book about women, because people come to the subject already with lots of emotion and kind of some preconceived ideas, and it's we carry around this little cocktail of our childhood experiences and our church politics and our current culture wars and our own, like it's just there's a lot. I've written books about prayer and about parenting, and there's nothing quite like this topic that ignites discussion. And ultimately, that's what I want. All the chapter titles are in question marks. They're just wonderings I've had, and I keep saying that I think good teaching leaves you with more questions than answers. And I hope people read and have more questions, and then they take their questions to the Holy Spirit, to their Bible, to their pastor, to whoever it is that they take their questions to. I'm not trying to prescribe to people. I'm just trying to give some context and some ingredients to cook with in the kitchen. So to answer your question, the book of Genesis. So I like to study and teach Hebrew, not in an academic setting, more in a Bible study kind of setting. And I've done that for a long time. My first trip to Israel was in 2010. So for the last 13 years, I've traveled frequently there and like to learn. So I was there one day in 2018, and the person who was teaching me said, I got a new word for you. I'm like, okay, tell me. And she said, I bet you already know it. It's not good for man to be alone. So God created a, and then she paused. And I said, helper suitable. And I knew that passage. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And later it's in verse 20. She said, yep, that's right. And she said, what we translate in English as helper is the Hebrew word, comes from the Hebrew word ezer, E-Z-E-R. And she said, it's 21 other times in our Old Testament. And the other times, it's a military context. It's the idea that it's help somebody can't give themselves. It's oftentimes Hebrew words are like word pictures. And she said, it's the image of someone coming in at the end of a battle on the white horse and like saving the day. And I said, really? Because helper kind of sounds like assistant. It's not good for man to be alone. So God gave him a helper, an assistant. And suitable, the word that we translate to the English word suitable is this picture of two planks corresponding to one another, propped up against one another. If one of those planks moves, the other plank falls. So it's this picture that we have two corresponding planks that are in a battle together. And when one of them needs help, the other one's there to offer help. They can't help themselves. And so we were just having this picture, this discussion about warrior versus helper. And the first place I start talking to my friends about it. What's that make you feel like to hear that you're a corresponding battle worthy participant in the ministry and stuff of life? And then I started to talk about it on my social media platforms, like, what does helper sound like to you? And people started to say things like, when I want my daughter's help to set the table, I really want to give her jobs that I can either supervise or she can't mess up. And th then we started talking about the ways that this has played into people's church policies and marital setups. And I thought, oh gosh, I don't have any desire. I have zero desire to create a platform. I have no idea. I have no desire to identify with anyone who's trying to elevate women over men or make an argument we don't need them. I've had people accuse me if I'm trying to feminize men. I said, no, not even a tiny bit. Being everything that God created us to be should not minimize what God created them to be. It should actually maximize how God created them to be. So
Amen.
I was reading and studying Genesis 2. Then I got to Genesis 3, and Genesis 3 is the fall. It's when Adam and Eve eat the apple, and we have some consequences of the fall, like it's going to hurt when we have our babies, and it's going to be hard to work the ground. And it says that men will rule over women. And I was thinking, here we are in the 20th century, and we take medicine so babies don't hurt when they come out, and we have fertilizers and machines to make the ground easier to work. Why are we working as a capital C church to uphold something in the fall where men rule over women? I don't want to work to uphold the fall. The intelligent designer, a chapter before, said that we correspond and are in the battle together. I just want to live the way that the intelligent designer designed. I don't want to live in the way that came as a consequence of the fall. And so that was the genesis of the discussion. And then, 250 some pages later, I tried to figure out what that means for my friendships and my sons, and what that means for my marriage and for my church, and what that means. And those questions and curiosities, I hope, stir in other people's hearts some of those same conversations.
Oh my goodness, my brain is going like 1,000 miles an hour. I have so many questions, but I think that's so neat. Like, you're right. Like, we look at scripture and then we're like, okay, but then we don't just look at it on its own. Like, we don't just suck that part up and just hold it on its own. Like, oh, the fall. Like, there's the fall. That's what we focus on. No, like, scripture is one giant story, not a bunch of, it is a bunch of little ones, but they make one big story. And so I think it's really cool how God can give us just that, like, one thing, like that one word, and he pulls it out and he's like, hey, pay attention to this. How does this apply all throughout scripture? And I think it's so cool how Hebrew is, because I'm really into like Hebrew and like all understanding like the original text and how
Yes.
their words, like our words, have such little like complexity compared to theirs. It is mind-blowing. But to be able to pull those out and then dive deeper into what the true meaning was is just, it's one of my favorite things to do. So when you looked at that word, and I'm gonna say it wrong, did you say
Azer.
Azer?
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
When you looked at Azer, how did you go about like diving in deeper? Because I know my listeners love to know, like, okay, like that's great, but like, how did you do that? Like, I would love to do that. So what was kind of the process of pulling that word apart and diving deeper?
Yeah, I'm sure your listeners will relate to the fact that we all have certain teachers who are just kind of tested well for us. Like we trust what they've said. We've examined their teachings before. So first, I went to some of my trusted sources, like a couple professors who I like how they write, and then I was getting some not conflicting messages, but just like, I was trying to build a framework with which to understand what are the implications that God has asked us into the battle? And I heard a podcast with Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, and he has retired from that role, and now he's working on something called Finishing the Task, which is a Great Commission work that's happening. And he talked about how immediately after Jesus, what died and resurrected and Great Commissioned us, the church exploded in the next couple hundred years in a way it hasn't grown since. So what was the secret sauce? Like what were the factors in that initial several centuries that caused the gospel to spread, and what stopped it? And he talked about how the Great Commission, go and make disciples and baptize them and teach, like the four commands in the Great Commission were given to both men and women. If they were just for men, he would have told them. And so people did exactly what they were told to do. Men and women were working together in this idea of sharing with the world that who Jesus was. And they were doing it in part because that's how Paul was setting things up. And I remember, anyway, and in this interview, he said, you know, I think maybe one of the reasons why the gospel slowed down is because somewhere in after this first couple hundred years, we benched half the team. We put women in the back seat. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Because I kind of got a little Paul grudge. Like, there's some things that he wrote I don't actually like. And so what does that, what do you mean that Paul released women to do ministry? And so then I realized I'd misunderstood some of those Paul passages. Just like you said, I had pulled a few of them out of context, didn't understand how or why they were written. And I didn't like them as I understood them. And I realized I just didn't know enough. So I think really, honestly, for your listeners, don't feel satisfied with whatever it is you currently understand. Study more. Maybe it'll galvanize or reinforce what your current convictions are, or maybe it'll challenge you to shift or expand what your thinking is. But either way, we win. And either way, we get closer to Jesus and understand more of who he made us to be. So I spent a long time just letting one question lead to another, and that's what I tried to capture. Honestly, I think Warrior of Eden ends up looking like a journal for me. Like, here's my question, and here's who I talk to, and here are the stories I have, and here's the things I found in my Bible. Now go do the same and see what God says to you.
Well, I think it's really neat how you have a section like to journal and to write and to ask your own questions. Like any book that encourages me to write in it is one of my favorites because I'm gonna write it anyway. Like you might as well give me space to do so. And I think that's so neat. And I love that you said, like, don't be satisfied with what you know. Because I've never been able to put that into words. I've tried to explain to people like how my relationship with God has grown, like literally just through reading scripture. I mean, yes, other factors, but that's the main one. And it's just like I'm still hungry. Like I'm just not satisfied with what I currently know. Like there's gotta be more. I'm just me. I don't understand it all. So when we aren't content with that and we are just hungry for more of God and more of his knowledge, it's just it unleashes something inside of us. And I think that's just such a neat thing to know that it's not just us that are one, hungry for that, and two, able to do it. Like anybody is able to dive deeper. One thing that I really want to talk about is in your book, and you mentioned a little bit ago, you've been married, you've got kids, and in the book you talk about how after your 10th anniversary, you and your husband began to set up like a different way to like set apart time for each other, and how that new role that you learned about Azer like incorporated into that. And I know I've got a lot of married listeners. So how do you guys do that? Like, what does that look like in your lives?
That's a great question. Yeah. So we've been married now almost 30 years. So this
Oh,
happened,
that's awesome.
20 years ago. We had nine children, a ministry that was growing, and nobody was doing anything wrong. But what we realized is as we were interacting with each other, our interactions were becoming increasingly transactional. Like when I saw him coming, I was thinking, "Hey, what can you do for me right now?" Like we were losing some of our friendship, frankly. And I was reading the books of poetry in our Bible, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastics. We got to this verse in the second chapter of Song of Solomon. It says, "Catch the little foxes that want to come in your vineyard and ruin it while it's in bloom." And like we were just talking about the Hebrew, lots of word pictures. The vineyard is my body, and that blooming is our connection. And the enemy wants to send foxes that keep my husband and I from having the kind of connections that you get to have in marriage. And I was telling my girlfriends, like when we were studying, I'm like, listen, I kind of thought the good Christian girl thing was that we just hide our foxes and put our best foot forward in this area. Like, I wonder what would happen if I told Todd what my fox was. So that night, I told him about our study that day and our discussion. And I said, if I told you the kind of foxes that have want to come in my vineyard and ruin it, like what would you do? And he said, well, I'd get my bazooka out and I would shoot those foxes because I'm real interested in that vineyard blooming. And
That's awesome.
we had this really frank conversation about foxes, and some foxes are innocent, like fatigue and busyness,
Yeah.
and some foxes are more complicated, like expectations or fear or history or what, anger, resentment, disappointment.
Yeah.
And we decided that we needed to set apart some time where we could have honest exchanges. And again, we're kind of night owls, so we thought, what about from like 9 to 11? The little people are in bed. We were foster parenting teenage girls. They were all usually in the house at that point, safe. What if from 9 to 11, we didn't fold our laundry, answer our emails, use our phones, co-manage our house, co-work in our ministry, co-parent our children? What if for like 2 hours every night, we just had time together in relationship? And it felt really radical at the time to set apart that much of our day to not accomplish anything. But
Yeah.
I can tell you 20 years later, it's the deepest breath of my day. And the truth is, I'll never look at him and say, like, I don't even know who you are anymore, because
Yeah.
we have been growing up together for certainly the last 20 years, if not the last 30. And just what the ideas that have gotten explored, and the fears that we've gotten to share, and the questions we've gotten to debate, and the all and the vineyards that got to bloom, like all the things that got to happen in those 2 hours,
Yeah.
I think is probably the picture of two planks corresponding and two warriors coming home from a fight and saying, in you, I'm going to find comfort and rest and relationship.
Oh my goodness, that's just like I want to package that and sell it to everybody. Like, oh my goodness, that's 'cause you're right, like we grow, not necessarily, I hate to say like we grow apart because that's not true. But life is just busy and we
Yeah.
can neglect that time of being together with our spouse and just being intentional is huge. And if you can't take 2 hours, okay, then an hour, maybe half an hour. Start small and like build up. It's such a beautiful thing to know and see that like it works. Like you are the living embodiment of like this works. So take that time and just really pour in to that relationship. That way you don't look at each other one day and go, I have no idea who you are. Like it's all
Yeah.
about that intentionality.
And it's created room for love and
Yeah.
respect. And that love and respect has created space for wonderings like the ones that I explored in this book. It was not a challenge or a fear. It was like a let's get curious together and just
Yeah.
try to do life as much as the intelligent designer made us to live it. And we'll just trust him.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. I
You're
mean,
welcome. Thanks for
oh my
asking,
goodness. I
Kayla.
was like totally satisfied with what you were telling me about Azer and all that earlier. Now I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I asked that because that was so much fun. I needed that. Well, do you have any encouragement for those that are listening that maybe this last little section was what they're like, that's what I need to cling to, or maybe it's diving into scripture and just not being satisfied with what we know. How can we just not only keep pursuing God in scripture in all those ways, but also see ourselves as the warriors and more than just the helpers that we were designed to be.
Yeah, I think I also want to speak to the people who have the gift of help,
Yeah.
and or who have background gifts, or who have the I have a few friends who are like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be a warrior. Like, that sounds exhausting. Like, another thing I have to do on top of everything else. Like, it's God made you uniquely with your temperament, uniquely with your gift set, uniquely in the time and place. Like this is not one, this is not like one more thing you're supposed to be and a measuring stick you're going to get, measured against. This is a, hopefully an unlocking or an unleashing or a wind of freedom coming to you that says, be exactly how God made you. Some women warrior through prayer. Like we know prayer warriors. I know a woman who has a prodigal son who's fighting so hard for her son, not in a traditional way. You might think, oh, that's what a warrior looks like. But I know the fight that she's in right now. Some people are fighting for their marriage or against an addiction or for to take every thought captive or to hold their tongue or like I want to make sure people understand this is not an unrealistic expectation. This is like you have freedom to live and serve and give and go and be all that God made you. And I also would want to say to any of your single listeners, I don't think that because you don't have a plank that you're corresponding against, or because you're not married, that you aren't unleashed or unlocked to do all the fighting on behalf of the kingdom that God made you to do. I think those are some of the initial misunderstandings. I have fears that people will have, but the truth of the matter is, the world is telling us all kinds of things. And some of the things that the world are telling us are half true. That's why it sounds good. But some of it is not true. And I think the desire to go back to scripture and to make sure that what we're forming in our belief system and what we're using to dictate our actions and our words come from our Bibles, that's probably the most important activity we can possibly do.
Well, I will back that 100% because that's like my wheelhouse. I'm like, if we're not in scripture, how do we know what the heck to do next? Like, how do we know where God wants us to be or understand anything that's happening in the world? Like, scripture is where it's at in that communication, that prayer with God. Like, without those, I'm not sure how you're living. Like, those are so necessary. So, oh my goodness. Thank you so much for that. That was perfect.
You're welcome, Kayla. Thanks for having me on today to talk about these important subjects and for just continuing to introduce the conversation in front of more people so that they get to talk about it with people that they love and trust. And we have conversations about women, conversations of substance that deepen the kingdom and expand our impact.
Oh my goodness, this has been such a joy and a conversation that I honestly didn't know I needed, but God knew that I did. So he sent you into my path. So I'm just so thankful for you, thankful for your heart and that God has given you the just gift and talent to put words down on paper, 'cause that is not easy. I will be the first to like admit like that is so hard to do that. So thank you for using that gift and that talent to just speak to us and give us those conversation starters to help us grow God's kingdom and then get in better connection with Him. So thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me today.
I know I say this every week, but that was so good. Like I just can't. There was so much good, and just I took so many just notes. And if you want a few of them, those are in the show notes. But man, like we talked about marriage and about what God has for us as just women, and just standing in who we are, and like being released to do what God has told us to do, whether we're married or not. Like I love how Beth just encompasses all of that and just pulls everything out of scripture. It's just so beautiful, and I love the way that she explained it. So I hope that this reached you and just spoke to you. And maybe you're a husband listening and you're like, man, this is something I need to think about for my wife. Like, this podcast is mainly for women, but I understand that there are men that listen too. Think about your wife and how all of this just goes to what God has created her to do, and what that looks like in your marriage, and how you can help her, and how you can both support one another in this walk. And it's just, I love it. I love this book. I can't suggest it enough to all of you to go grab and just get into that Warrior of Eden position. Real quick, before I let you go, I wanted to let you know that my email community has been getting some really fun things lately. We got the Easter Holy Week stuff, and I've got something really special planned for Mother's Day. I'm going to be offering something just to my email community where they can actually be part of the podcast for Mother's Day. So if that is something that you're like, what? I'm kind of interested in that. Like, I love my mom. I'm a mom. I want to hear what's going on. Or my wife is a mom, or I have a wife. Like, all of those things. Go onto my website, kayladayan.com. Make sure you join the email list. It's like the only thing you can enter your name on. So go do that. And then you will be in those emails. Now, here's the thing. Make sure you check your spam, because for some reason, some of these emails are going to spam. I don't know why. I've done all the things. But on your end, sometimes it just does that. So if you are like, I signed up for emails, why am I not getting them? Go check your spam, check your junk, and see if they're in there. But they are getting stuff for Mother's Day, which is like a month away, my goodness. But they are also still getting lots of fun information on the course. So if you are hungry for more of God, if you want to be able to dive into scripture like Beth did today, and like she's written how many books based on scripture, and you're like, I just want like a little bit. I don't necessarily want to write books, but I would love to be able to like get into scripture and understand it and be able to like take it in and just receive it fully from God, then I've got a course that could definitely help you with that. The Embracing the Word course, which I released back in March, is just that. It teaches you how to practically embrace God, embrace His Word, and live out an intentional and intimate relationship with the Lord, and what that looks like in your everyday life, because life is crazy and life is not easy. So what do we do? How do we do it? And how do we just fully embrace the Lord? That's what I teach you in there. So you guys can grab that at the link in the show notes, or just go to my website and then go to courses, and it's under Embracing the Word. The course has been such a big hit with some of my friends, and actually people who like I don't know, which sounds silly, and I know I'm rambling now, but for someone that I don't know to buy the course and then learn what God taught me, I just think that's the coolest thing. So whether you know me or not, you are more than welcome to go get it, because the course is really from God, not from me. It's His words, His scriptures, His writing, and it's just, I just happen to be the author and the creator. So anyways, I pray that you have a great week. Thanks for listening to me ramble for the last 30 seconds. And I can't wait to see you next week. I'll see you right back here with another amazing episode and guest that could change your life if you let it. See you later. Want to hear more personal and applicable ways to have more confidence in Christ? Check out the Daily CCKs. 2 to 3 minutes to start your day off with confidence-filled scripture. Until next time, authentically share your confidence in Christ with others.